Warning: this podcast contains foul language, sexual situations, and discussions of drugs and drinking. Yeah.
Welcome to Fuck Shakespeare. All the naughty bits exposed. Our goal is to open your eyes to all the inside info that makes reading Shakespeare way more fun. Any episode might contain dick jokes.
Or essay ideas.
Or anything in between. So listen up. Hi.
Hi.
I'm Diana.
I'm Erin.
And here we are in the happy, happy booth.
It's happier now that it has all this poofy pink decoration in it.
Yeah. Erin has decorated her booth so that it's cheerful and it's not just gray and somber and
coffin-like.
Sad. Yes, coffin-like. When I first walked into this place, when she just showed it to me, I was like, nope, I'm never going in there. Ha! Little did I know.
How much time you'd actually spend.
Yes. Yeah. Because I have severe claustrophobia most of the time. But since you're in here with me, I guess it just feels like a small room. It's okay.
Okay. Well, you could always open that door.
No, that's okay. We've come this far.
We have come this far. I didn't know you actually had claustrophobia.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. People put things like near my face, or up to my face. I'm like, get it up! Freak the fuck out.
All right.
Okay.
Here we are, Lear 7.
Speaking of freaking the fuck out.
All right. Nice segue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See? It all works. It all works. We're going to have two small scenes on either side of the blow wind storm scene.
Yeah, they don't know about that.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they do. I don't know. I shouldn't judge who's listening. Maybe you've heard this before.
Yes. So there's a short scene where last we met our heroes, Lear and a few stragglers have gone out into the storm, and Cornwall was like, well, fuck that. Right?
He's like, bye, bitch.
See you later. And then, Kent has run out after him, and then you'll hear him say that he returned to the house, banged on the doors, and that they were like, nope, not feeling it, and didn't let him in. So he meets this, of course, random gentleman. We've had a couple of these now, and decides to tell him to go to Cordelia's troops, which we hear have landed.
I just had an idea.
Yeah.
Those of you who think you might want to be a playwright,
yeah,
a la Tom Stoppard, what if all of the gentlemen, like the random gentlemen and the random lords and the random soldiers, told their stories?
Like what they heard and what they know. What do we call it? King Pier from the background.
No. Yeah, but not only from Lear, because Shakespeare, that's a pretty traditional... What's the word I want? It begins with a C.
Convention.
Convention! That's the word!
Yeah, in fact, one of my favorite ones is Balthazar from Romeo and Juliet, because he has to bring that news that Juliet's dead. He thinks he sees her die, dead, and put in the tomb. And that's a huge game changer, yeah?
Right, and also the servant in
Macbeth.
Right?
Yeah, the queen, my lord, is dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, oh boy, I don't want to deliver that news.
No, well,
that's
so,
the worst.
So you aspiring playwrights out there, have at it.
Yeah.
And then Diana and I would like to be in it.
I'm looking at you, Wiley.
Okay.
Okay. And he's reporting, also Kent is reporting that there are spies in every single royal household. Like, so in Courtney's, what the fuck? I combined Cornwall and Albany.
Yeah.
There you go. In Cornwall's house, in Albany's house, and these are all spies sent by the King of France. So that kind of atmosphere really creates, like, anxiety. And, you know, a contemporary audience would have been like, oh, shit, that's bad, that's bad. You know, all the spies infiltrating the country. Because when you have a country that's internally at war, you leave it open. It's vulnerable to... other infiltration, and France was the classic enemy in all the history plays. Fucking France coming over. But this time France is coming over with an English queen. That's different.
Yeah.
And then we'll have the storm and get to hear about Lear's huge discomfort with all of this situation and what it turns into. So talk about Lear is the storm, storm is Lear. Where does that come from?
I don't know where that comes from. I just have always heard that like, is Lear conjuring the storm? Is the storm a reflection of what's going on inside Lear? Is the storm actually Lear? Is Lear actually the storm if the storm hadn't existed? And would this all have happened the way it did? And I don't know. I mean, I would have to go look at my Harold Bloom.
Yes, maybe Harold Bloom has something to say about that. But yeah, it's a continuation of that idea that the king is the top of the kingdom. And so we have the king on a parallel. If you look at the heavens as a kingdom and the land as a kingdom, the king is on par with the gods. And so he's really taking that on as a massive power. And it's in this true sense of the word, awesome, because it creates this like, whoa, you just, you know, if done right and done beautifully, it's powerful.
I know that when we get into it, I know that I'm going to, because this read through of Lear has changed my mind about a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I, because I never have delved. When is delving. He going to start delving?
I asked
That's
myself.
Tom Stoppard.
Yes.
Right. Yes, Aaron, train of thought. Yes, that in fact, you know, Lear is always portrayed as the betrayed king. And I don't feel that this go round. I feel like in some ways it's a tragedy because of his pride and his inability to see himself as human. Not that that's necessarily his fault. I mean, he was
right,
raised
I was
to that.
Say, it's chicken egg. It's really.
Right. But the thing is, you know, no king, especially in this time, not Lear's time, but King James's time.
Yeah.
No king is going to say, I'm going to step down and I'm not going to appoint another king. I'm going to hang around and let you people do all the menial work while I, nobody would ever do that.
Yeah.
Not ever.
Well, but his courtiers around him might speak about that.
Sure.
Like he's failing. He's losing his mind. What are we going to do? We have to replace him, or we have to have, you know, or somebody stages a coup to replace him. You know, so
right.
There are things, there
sure.
are discussions about
right.
that.
No, and I'm not denying that, but
yeah.
I think, you know, he does bear responsibility.
Oh, yeah.
For what happens to him. And I don't think that we talk about
that. But he never has
that.
Had to before.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So I think that his lesson here is in understanding how humanity works, you know, which he has
never had to
confront before.
Right.
It's all about me being the gods. And everybody told him that story.
It's the
for
same.
80 fucking years.
It's the same thing he did to Goneril.
Yeah.
It mirrors it exactly.
Right. He told her what she was going to be for the rest of her life. For 80 years, you know, or whatever,
yeah.
40 years,
yeah.
yeah? And, yeah, so how do you change that narrative? This is an incredible self-help book moment here, guys. You know, like, how do you change that internal narrative for yourself, that self-story, unless you have huge catalysts that help you understand, you know? Because if you've been proven right time and time and time again, I tell this person something and they do it, you know? I make this law and everybody does it. Then, well, how do you change that idea for yourself?
In the storm.
Yeah. In the storm.
Anyway, that's just the thing I was thinking about.
Yeah.
I should see what Harold Bloom
yeah,
says.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
I'd also
more.
Be curious to see what, what's-her-face says. Marjorie
Galba. She's going to be one of my teachers next.
I'm so fucking jealous.
Yeah.
Marjorie
so
Garber.
Excited.
I'm going to look up Marjorie Garber Lear and also
okay.
Harold Bloom
nice.
Lear. Yeah. So I went looking in my Harold Bloom, and he really doesn't talk about the storm very much. He talks about a lot of interesting things, and I underlined them all and went, I'll have to tell. But Marjorie Garber, however, talks about metaphorical language, and that what begins in the play metaphorically at the time of the storm becomes literalized. We see characters ceasing to use the same kinds of metaphorical language.
And the fool, as we were talking about, was getting sort of more and more powerless, impotent. And he has this big parable at the end of this scene because you'll hear him. He's like, he has nothing. He doesn't know what to say anymore. He says weird, little weird shit. And he sings songs. And he's obviously at a loss. And he has this parable at the end where he talks about the world the way it is. And then the world in an ideal way, how nice it would be if blah, 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 blah happened. And then he makes a joke about it. And he's like, yeah, but, you know.
Someone
else will tell you this.
He does mirror Lear.
Yeah.
As Lear becomes less and less potent, the fool becomes less and less potent to Lear.
Yeah.
It's like a microcosm.
Yeah. But the storm, in a way, is Lear's last burst of gigantic power, even though it's pointless.
Well, we'll see when we read it.
Yeah,
I don't know how I feel about it. I have to hear you do it, and then I'll be able to tell what I think. Mm.
And then we'll also have a last little scene after that of Gloucester and Edmund, because we're setting up for something ugly that's coming next.
A lot of ugly.
A lot of ugly that's coming next.
A lot of ugly is coming. Ooh, it's a vicious play.
It's another. So we've had Lear really confronting his children and starting to get the picture of like, wait, none of this is as I imagined it. But Gloucester hasn't really had that moment yet. He's lagging.
He's so lagging.
And he's giving away important state secrets to the worst possible person. Stupid. Oh, my God. Okay, so. Storm!
I'll find a little sound effect.
All right. Kent meeting the gentleman.
Who's there besides foul weather?
One minded like the weather, most unquietly.
I know you. Where's the king?
Contending with the fretful elements, bids the wind blow the earth into the sea, or swell the curled waters above the main, that things might change or cease.
But who is with him? So Kent's not with him. Kent doesn't know where he is.
Yeah. So as I said, which we'll find out in a moment, Kent ran back to the house like, you can't be serious. Go find him and bring him back in. And they were like, nope. No.
We said no.
So the gentleman was maybe that gentleman that came and found Kent in the stocks. That one. And followed the king out and then is coming back like, where the fuck is Kent? And, you know, there's the winds are blowing and he's like, yeah, the king is out there screaming at the wind. curled waters above the mainland. He's like, blow the earth into the sea. I don't care. Be done with all of it, you know, so that everything could be different. And who's with him?
Yeah. But who is with him?
None but the fool who labors to outjest his heart-struck injuries.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, the poor fool is,
still trying.
So hard. Yeah. Outjest, you know, make jokes. But I like these compound words. If you look at it in your text, it's hyphenated. Hyphenated words.
She's making
making little finger waggles. Like you can see me. Yeah, so we have outjest and heartstruck. Shakespeare is really famous for doing that, for taking two words that we know the meanings of and then sticking them together with a hyphen and making a new word. So
is
cool.
This a shared line?
Yes, they do. They're sharing lines because of the urgency.
Wow.
So like, boom, 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 boom. And Kent's like, yes, whatever. Okay, we got to go on.
Sir, I do know you and dare upon the warrant of my note commend a dear thing to you. There is division, although as yet the face of it is covered with mutual cunning twixt Albany and Cornwall, who have, as who have not, that their great stars throned and set high, servants who seem no less, which are to France the spies and speculations intelligent of our state. I'm going to stop there because it's
okay,
a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah. So I know you. He's like, okay.
I do know who you are.
I recognize you. And dare upon the warrant of my note, meaning the reliability of what I know of you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Because he doesn't have many people to trust.
Right.
So the fact that he was with Lear, he's going to say, okay, I think I can trust you. I hope I can. Command a dear thing. I'm going to tell you some important things. There's division. Okay, so here it is. There's enmity between Albany and Cornwall. But they're right now, they're still hide.
I love it. You're right. Yeah. The mutual cunning. Right?
Yeah.
The face of it is covered with mutual. They're both like, I'm going to scheme here. Oh, I'm going to scheme here. I want him to think I'm on his side. But I'm not on his side.
But I'm not on his side yet. And like, big handshake. Like, yes, of course we can work together. Not. Right? And then they have servants who seem no less, who are disguised as servants.
Yeah.
You know, but to France, they are spies. And I love the word speculations. It's the same word as spectacles. So they are watching
eyes.
So yeah. It's an embedded eyes piece for the theme. Little tricky one there. All right. So they're intelligent of our state. They're finding out what's going on. Yep. They're finding out things and they're reporting back.
What hath been seen either in snuffs and packings of the Duke or the hard rain which both of them hath borne against the old king or something deeper, whereof perchance these are but furnishings. Okay, I have no idea what I just said.
Great.
I thought I knew.
And you also skipped kind king.
Oh, old kind king. Ka-ka-ka.
Yeah. Yeah.
K-k-k-ken.
So, intelligence of our state. What have been seen? What they've
seen
noticed,
and reported.
I love snuffs and packings. Quarrels are snuffs, and packings are intrigues. You know, like they've packed it away, like secret.
Okay. Yeah?
Or the hard rain, the discipline with both of them have enacted on the king.
Right.
You know, like cutting down his people and all of that stuff. Or is it something more underneath all of that these things are just surface indications.
And it's even deeper and uglier.
Yeah. Of the problem. Yeah. And then the gentleman wants to understand. I will talk further with you.
No, do not. For confirmation that I am much more than my out wall, open this purse and take what it contains. If you shall see Cordelia, as fear not, but you shall show her this ring, and she will tell you who that fellow is that yet you do not know. Fie on this storm, I will go seek the king.
All right, so
my out
wall. I can't stay to talk to you.
Yeah.
But if you want to know better than what you see, my out wall, right? My outward appearance.
My dress as a servant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Open this thing. He hands him a package, purse, a package, yeah, and take what's inside. There's a letter for Cordelia, and also there's a ring that was Kent's.
Mm-hmm.
So she'll know it immediately.
And she'll tell you who I am.
He's sending it to her as an avouch of his, you know,
loyalty.
Honesty, mm-hmm, and his loyalty.
Yep.
Yeah. She will tell you who that fellow is, who I am, right? And I'm going to seek the king. Give me your hand. Have you no more to say?
Few words, but to effect more than all yet, that when we have found the king, in which your pain that way.
Your pain that way, you're going to take your effort and go that way?
Oh, okay.
And I'm
okay.
going to take
Few
mine
words,
and go this.
But to effect more than all yet, that when we have found the king, in which your pain that way, I'll this. He that first lights on him, holla the other.
Yeah. So the first person to find the king, yell. Holla back.
Holla. Holla.
Holla back.
I ain't no holla back king.
Yeah. So just like, don't you have anything else to say? Yeah. Just yell for me if you find the king. That's all. That's what I have to say. That's the most important thing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so then another part of the heath. And what is a heath?
I think that it's like rolling, hillish, covered with like scrubby.
Yeah, short stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 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 like,
low.
Like, well, heath
heather.
Is a kind of a plant, like heather or the, yeah.
Yeah. It's shrubs. It's like low things. So there aren't trees.
No.
You remember you heard Gloucester say there's nary a bush, right?
Right.
Like just hardly even anything tall
it's
enough.
It's scrub.
Yeah, tall enough to hide under. So you can see for miles over the heath, which is one thing at least, you know, especially if a big crack of lightning lights it all up. So here's King Lear and the Fool.
You're Lear.
I know. Blow winds and crack your cheeks. Rage, blow. You cataracts and hurricanos, spout till you have drenched our steeples, drowned the cocks. And that's the name of our episode, right? So we have the image of those winds that you see in pictures, you know, with the big cheeks blowing. Cataracts are downpours. Hurricanos are waterspouts that come out of the water, you know, any body of water when there's a storm like that.
They're water tornadoes.
Yeah. Till you have drenched our steeples and drowned the cocks. So steeples representing the church, and I think the cocks represent the brothels. So he's like, wipe it all the fuck out. You know, but even though it's weathercocks, yes, it is. But
that's for the ass cushions.
That's for the ass cushions. And I think embedded in there is like, wipe out the good and the bad. I don't care. Take it all. Mm-hmm. You know?
But cocks would have gotten a rise from the...
She says it without even noticing at this point. All right. You sulphurous and thought-executing fires, vaunt couriers of oak-cleaving thunderbolts, singe my white head, and thou, all shaking thunder, smite flat the thick rotundity of the world. Crack nature's molds, all germens spill at once that make ingrateful man.
Germans are not Germans, like,
yeah,
as
not
in people
like
from
people.
The country.
No,
that's not what he meant.
But what we just said about hyphenated words, he's got a bunch here that are really cool. So we have thought executing, which means that lightning happens before you can even think about saying the word lightning.
And it's
right?
gone. Right.
And then it's gone. But it also thought executing in the sense that when you get a crack of lightning, you can't even think, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're like, oh, gosh, so scared. And then we have vaunt couriers, which is advance messengers. Couriers are messengers, and vaunt to be in the vanguard. The vanguard is at the head mm-hmm. of something. And then we have all shaking. That's great. An obvious one. Smite flat the thick rotundity of the world.
I love that line.
Yeah,
smite, flat
smite flat
the thick here's... rotundity of the world. Oh, the world.
Oh, it's great.
Oh, the
yeah.
world.
Oh, the world.
Yeah.
So wonderful, chewy consonants there.
Yeah.
Incredible. So he's not just glossing this over. He's thinking about this. His brain is on fire here, you know? So he's not, maybe if he's going crazy, he's going in this incredibly rich way.
Well, think about it. Like, a lot of our, what we consider geniuses, were also people
yeah.
who had mental illness, right?
Yeah.
Because that kind of access to your brain untethered permits all kinds of sights and scenes that other people can't access. And he is a very smart man. It's not that he's,
yeah.
I mean, he's a very smart man who made a terrible decision.
Yeah.
Being smart does not mean you don't
yeah,
make
doesn't.
Terrible
yeah.
decisions.
Of course.
Oh, is that thunder? Did you hear that?
Yeah.
What was that?
I don't know.
That's kind of funny. That's
kind of funny.
Because I don't usually hear thunder in here.
Oh. Might be a good old storm happening outside. Oh, art imitates life, imitates art.
Friends, there was, in fact, a thunderstorm.
The thick rotundity of the world, though, but also I think there's a parallel, a correlation to the world, even the globe, the theater that they're sitting mm-hmm. in, and then also the world, Lear's actual head, his brain,
his world.
His world. So it's the gods and the king. Again, correlation. Crack nature's mold. Nature's nature. We've got our theme word, right?
Ding, 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 ding.
But those are the patterns from which all life is created. So, like, you know, there's nature churning out a bunch of chipmunks. No! Take away,
no
take away, take away all the patterns for all the things, you know? And germens is seeds, like germinate. Okay? So spill all the fucking sperm of everybody and no one gets to make children ever again because human beings are horrible.
There's another. Oh. Not only does Lear say to Goneril, you know, I curse you to never be able to
birth babies, but I was thinking there's another play. What's the other play where...
There's a curse on a daughter?
No. Hamlet! It's Hamlet!
Where?
No one should be making babies.
Okay,
that's where mm-hmm. my
in the nunnery scene.
Yeah, my brain just went to that.
Nobody should ever make babies again because humans suck.
Right, okay, that's all. That's all. My brain just had a little fart.
Yeah. And then the poor fool who's like soaking wet and very upset. It's like,
oh, nuncle, court holy water in a dry house is better than this rain water out a door. Good nuncle, in and ask thy daughter's blessing. Here's a knight pities neither wise man nor fool.
Yeah, so court holy water is flattery.
Yeah.
That's the holy water that the courtiers throw on each other. And it's just, he's just saying, just tell them what they want to hear.
Right, because this is awful.
Let us get inside. I don't care.
This is awful.
You know?
Yeah. Please, beg their forgiveness. Flatter them. Beg them. Tell them they were right. And let's go in.
And then we'll figure it out later.
Yeah.
And Lear. Rumble thy belly full, spit fire, spout rain, nor rain, wind, thunder, fire are my daughters. I tax not you, you elements, with unkindness. I never gave you kingdom, called you children. You owe me no subscription. Then let fall your horrible pleasure. Here I stand your slave, a poor, infirm, weak, and despised old man. But yet I call you servile ministers, that have with two pernicious daughters joined your high-engendered battles against a head so old and white as this. Oh, 'tis foul.
Oh, ho, 'tis foul.
Oh, ho, 'tis foul.
Oh, ho.
Oh. So rumble, he's talking to thunder.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. I don't care. Rain, fire, whatever the fuck you're throwing at me. I don't care. I tax not you. I don't accuse you of unkindness. I'm not saying that this is undeserved. I never gave you my kingdom. So if you want to rant and rail at me, go ahead. You know, I never called you my children. So he's making the comparison between the ministers of heaven, which is the thunder and the fire and the rain, and his own children. You owe me no subscription. You don't owe me allegiance. This is you're your own kingdom. So go ahead, do what you want. Let fall your horrible pleasure. And this line is really interesting. Your horrible pleasure, here I stand your slave. It's really an awkward rhythm. There's a sentence, you know, caesura in the middle. Your horrible pleasure, here I stand your slave.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
Maybe that's a moment where he's like...
Yeah,
you know, where the things are, you know, maybe...
He's glitching.
He's glitching.
Yeah. And old man, he's using the words that were thrown at him. He's like, yeah, I know what I am.
And next to you, I am this anyway.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Ministers are agents. He's like, even though you don't owe me anything and we don't have any beef... You are serving my daughters in this, that you are, you know, raining down all this shit on my head, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why he's saying, but yet I call you servile ministers. You're serving them because you've joined up with them. Pernicious daughter, deadly daughters. Your high-engendered battles, your high-engendered is conjured up in the heavens. So those things that you've put together up there, you're throwing down on this old white head.
Yeah, but so that's the thing. Here he is, and he's saying, I don't blame you, but I do! I blame you! Because you're in cahoots with my kids. And
yeah.
And it's like he's still not letting go of that.
Yeah, he has
thing.
To purge this all out,
yeah.
I think. You know, it's like popping the pimple or vomiting the poison. You know, he's gotta get it out.
Yeah. And fool. He that has a house to put his head in has a good headpiece.
That means a little hat or a helmet, but also the end of a dick.
Right, because that's the little helmet, right? We know
so
that.
So he's got that guy that has a place to put his head in or a place to put a stick his dick in.
Has a good one. Has a good one. Okay, and then he sings, the codpiece that will house before the head has any, the head and he shall louse, so beggars marry many.
Yeah, so let's do that much. So the guy who finds a place for his dick before he finds a house is going to get nothing but louse, right? And live in poverty. Because if you just go around sticking your dick in things, then you're going to have all these children, and you're going to have to support them, and you're going to have no money, and you're going to So he's like, think!
Yeah.
First!
Yeah.
So beggars marry many, okay?
The man that makes his toe what he his heart should make shall of a corn cry woe and turn his sleep to wake.
So makes his toe is one of his baser parts, right? Mm-hmm. His lower parts. So he's equating that to his dick. So the guy that prefers his dick over his heart is going to be upset about little stupid things like corns. And he's not going to, and he's going to sit up all night worrying about little stupid shit and not see the big picture about what he should be paying attention to. Heart things.
For there was never yet fair woman, but she made mouths in glass. In a glass. Let me do that. For there was never yet fair woman, but she made mouths in a glass.
So
like kissy faces
ladies.
At herself?
Admired, yeah. Mm-hmm. Admired herself in a mirror. So it's like sort of lame. Like he's not reacting. He's just saying shit now.
Well, he's in the storm too, right?
He's in the storm too.
So if Lear is raging and can't hear the fool, you know,
Fool's commenting in his own way. He's like, "How did we get here? Because you didn't think."
But also, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like there's something. He can't say it any other way. There's nothing left to say, right? You made the decision. You made the decision. It was a bad decision. This is what you get for the bad decision you made. You made this bad decision, and this is what you get. He says it over and over and over again, and nobody listens, and he's just, now he's in the storm.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That first scene, he came in really caustic, right?
Very
and
caustic.
Really let him have it.
Yeah.
And then it's just slowly been worn away, like, nobody fucking hears me. Mm-hmm. So...
it's almost like I don't exist.
What is the fucking point?
Lear doesn't exist anymore. Fool doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. But the fool almost doesn't know who he is. And Lear is going to go through a I don't know who I am period before he wakes up.
So maybe the fool is a foreshadowing of what happens to Lear
and
Gloucester. Oops. Okay. Sorry.
So Lear... no, I will be the pattern of all patience. I will say nothing.
Ding, 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 ding.
Theme word.
Yeah, but.
So now he'll be the one to say nothing. Well, maybe that's him thinking, I wanted them all to tell me how much they love me. Maybe I needed to not say that.
Oh.
Right?
Maybe.
Because
I can't understand what he's saying there. Like, I'm looking back. At the what the fool says.
He's not answering the fool.
No.
He's just saying, I will be patient. I will be...
well, what's the last thing he said?
Oh, so old and white as this. He's cursing the gods.
Yeah,
cursing.
Oh, tis foul. And then he says, no, I will be the pattern of all patience.
And so here I'm screaming. Nope, I'm going to go the other way. But I will say nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe there's a glimmer there for a moment, like... I shouldn't have fucking said that.
Or,
I should be the one that said nothing, and then I'd still have Cordelia.
Yeah.
Instead of her being the one that said
nothing.
I think
it's a great moment for Lear to go, to let that nothing be all the times it's been said so far.
Yeah.
Cordelia saying it, him saying it.
Right.
Like, reliving all of that and coming to the conclusion I should have kept my mouth shut.
It should have been me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
in the same way that the storm is him, the nothing is all the nothings.
Yes.
Yeah,
right.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oof.
Whew. Okay. Kent, who's there? Fool. Mary, here's Grace and a codpiece. That's a wise man and a fool.
Grace being royalty, like your grace, we say too.
Mm-hmm.
We say. All right, Kent.
Alas, sir, are you here? Things that love night love not such nights as these. The wrathful skies gallow the very wanderers of the dark and make them keep their caves. Since I was man, such sheets of fire, such bursts of horrid thunder, such groans of roaring wind and rain, I never remember to have heard. Man's nature cannot carry the affliction nor the fear.
So a lot of times we have these very descriptive speeches at times like this because they didn't have special effects back in Shakespeare. They had some guy hitting on a, you know, on a piece of metal or something to create thunder, the thunder sound, which actually is a great thunder sound. But they didn't have the lights that would make it feel like that. So Kent is describing for you the awesomeness and terrifyingness of the storm itself. So the wrathful skies gallow, gallow, great word, frighten. So the gallows are the things that you hang people from, but just the word gallow by itself is to scare something. The wanderers of the dark, the nocturnal animals. So they're all hiding. Make them keep their caves, keep inside their caves. And then man's nature, our theme word, cannot carry the affliction. It can't bear it. Yeah. It's too scary. Too scary. But yet here, and this was all in answer to, are you standing out here in the heat in the middle of a lightning storm?
Yeah.
What the fuck? And Lear is like, I don't care. He just said he'd be patient, right? And now here he goes again. Let the great gods that keep this dreadful putter o'er our heads find out their enemies now. Tremble, thou wretch, that hast within thee undivulged crimes, unwhipped of justice. Hide thee, thou bloody hand, thou perjured and thou simular of virtue that are incestuous. Caitiff, to pieces shake, that under covert and convenient seeming has practiced on man's life. I'm going to stop there.
Yeah, wow. Woo. I mean, I'm trying to follow along what he's saying here. I don't know why I can't hear what he's saying in this speech.
Because our cut was always much shorter than this.
Let the great gods that keep this dreadful putter o'er our heads, this storm
is the turmoil. The putter is turmoil.
Find their enemies.
Find out their enemies now. So they can discover it by scaring the shit out of them with all of this noise. So those people who tremble, are fearful here, are probably the sinners. Because they're like, oh shit, the gods are come to get me. Right?
Tremble thou wretch that hast within thee undivulged crimes. The crimes you haven't gone to church and said I've sinned.
Yep. So he's starting to imagine all the wrongdoers in the world. And later you'll see him in his madness. They become very specific examples. Okay. But here they're more generalized. And so he's saying the person, you, the one who has things that you have never told and not been whipped for, not gotten the justice for, you be scared. And then hide thee, thou bloody hand, the person who's committed some kind of crime and then perjured and then lied about it. Mm. And thou simular, I love that, simulator, pretender, pretending to be good, but you're really an incestuous person.
Wow.
Yikes. Big, scary buzzword there that Shakespeare lobs in every now and again. You'll see in Measure for Measure, he lobs it in a very key place, which really freaks us out.
Harold Bloom says that
Hamlet.
Harold Bloom says that Measure for Measure is the most rancid the plays.
Rancid.
And
incest.
Macbeth and Measure for Measure are his favorites.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah,
maybe we'll have to do that one next. Problem play.
Yeah. Although we are due for a comedy.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, there's some comedy in there.
Yes, there is, actually.
Quite a lot, in fact. So the incestuous people, and then caitiff is villain. Two pieces, shake. That under covert and convenient seeming, so that's almost parallel to what Kent just said about Albany and Cornwall, that they're covering up what they really are. So seeming is always a great word because it's indicative that whatever person has on their face is not what's in their heart and not what's in their brain. And he's it's all about disguise. And he's starting to understand that the people around him are not as they are portraying themselves.
Here's an interesting thing. Do you think this might be a time when Lear sees Kent?
Yeah.
And not the servant?
Yeah. Disguise everywhere. At this point, I don't know that he's seeing clearly much of anything.
Okay.
Because if he's not responding to the fool at all,
yeah,
then he's in his own little place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? Has practiced on man's life, plotted against, and secretive. So that wouldn't be Kent necessarily, but, you know, other people that have pretended to like him.
Pretended to follow him. Be loyal to him.
And would cut his throat in the night if they think they could get away with it. You know? Close pent-up guilts, rive your concealing countenance and cry these dreadful summoners' grace. I am a man more sinned against than sinning.
Okay, so this is where I don't believe, like, people believe that that's true when he says that. I think it's true for him, but it's not true.
Right. It's definitely true for him.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's true for him, but it's not true.
Right.
He has sinned against many.
Yeah.
Many who he
and
should
right
not.
And right now his sins are coming back to visit him. Is yeah. that the thing?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, but maybe he's talking about himself about some of these things, or maybe he's seeing, you know what I mean? Maybe it's both and.
Yeah, I love, well, close pent-up guilt, right? Pent-up is, you know, enclosed. Things that you've held close to your heart, these guilty, guilty feelings. Rive is split. You're concealing continents, the things that, the containers that hold those things. So it's like your sides. He talked about his sides being too, I can't believe you're still holding together. Why don't you split open? Mm-hmm. So it's that kind of image again. And cry those dreadful summoners' grace. Beg. The dreadful summoners are the gods, and grace is forgiveness or mercy. Beg them for forgiveness. All of you people who have done bad things and hidden them and never gotten punished, now is the time to beg the gods for mercy.
And I love it if he's talking about himself.
Yes. And he may not even realize that until it comes out of his mouth and he can go, oh fuck. So it's those incredible moments where you are visited by the Spirit and you speak the truth, and then you have to realize what that truth means to you.
Yeah, you're not excused.
No,
from that.
You're not out of the general mix either.
Right. Interesting. Right? Interesting. Interesting. Okay, now I like it better. And Kent, alack, bareheaded, gracious, my lord, hard by here is a hovel. Now he calls him my lord, not your majesty.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's upset too. I think he's all in a turmoil as well.
Oh God, alack, bareheaded, you have nothing on your head. Gracious my lord, hard by here is a hovel. Some friendship will it lend you gainst the tempest. Repose you there, while I to this hard house, more harder than the stones whereof 'tis raised, which even but now, demanding after you, denied me to come in. Return and force their scanted courtesy.
Yeah. So hard by, close by.
Yeah, over here.
There's a hovel. Oh. The scene of many interesting things to come. And, you know, you can get some shelter there.
Yep.
While I return back to this house, the castle, where he just came from.
This hard house.
Harder than the stones.
Yeah.
And this is where
harder
he said,
than the stones that it's made of.
Yeah. Because the hearts inside are so hard. And this is where he said, even but now, demanding after you, I just went to find out if you had returned, and they said, get the fuck out of here, and I will force them to take you back in.
Mm-hmm.
Just me and my little knife.
Yeah.
My little knife.
Kent. Buddy. And their scanted courtesy is, it's, you know, like,
neglected.
Yeah.
Forgotten.
Yeah. They had none.
Yeah. No manners. That's the least of it. All right, Lear. And Lear's coming back down to earth, I think, from that, wow, I am my man more sinned against than sinning. And now he's, like, finally seeing the faces that are in front of him, I think, you know. And he has this incredible reflexive statement. My wits begin to turn. Holy fuck.
I am
what
losing it.
What the fuck was I just ranting about? I'm losing it. Come
and
on.
Maybe that's in response to him
realizing that he is not exempt from all that that he just put out there.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's my...
That would cause a person's brain to totally jumble if the reality of their world suddenly cracked through the picture that they thought it was, right?
Mm.
It's like you had this beautiful, lovely sunshine backdrop in your world the whole time, and then suddenly it breaks open. It's like, you know...
Ants.
Oh, yeah.
Slugs. Earthworms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Disgusting, right? Skulls and, yeah. And rot. And so then he looks at the fool and he's like, oh, fuck, why are you here out in the rain? Come on, my boy. How dost, my boy? Art cold? I am cold myself. Where is this straw, my fellow? He's talking to Kent. Like, tell him, show me, show us where the
hovel
is. The art of our necessities is strange and can make vile things precious. So he's like, now I'm content to be in a hovel. Moments ago, I needed a castle, you mm-hmm. know? Come, your hovel. Poor fool and knave, I have one part in my heart that's sorry yet for thee.
Part? Heart.
Yeah, I love that.
Part in my heart.
And then the fool sings a little song.
Wait, so knave is referring to Kent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's like, he's saying,
come on, you guys. Yeah.
Yeah, poor fool, poor Kent, I have one part in my heart that's sorry yet for thee. Like, because you hung around with me, you're in this predicament,
yeah.
and we're gonna go be in this hovel, a king in a hovel.
Yeah, and it's almost like part in my brain. It's almost like I have enough to acknowledge that you guys are getting a raw deal because you're hanging out with me.
And the fool, he that has and a little tiny wit, hey ho, the wind and the rain, must make content with his fortunes fit, for the rain, it raineth every day.
Which character says that?
Festy!
Yay!
Festy!
And Twelfth Night.
Twelfth Night. Maybe that's what we should do next.
Oh, yeah. Such a good play. So it must have been a popular song at the time for mm-hmm. him to put it in two different plays. Yeah. So the hey-ho, the wind and the rain makes sense in this place.
Mm-hmm.
And he that has it a little tiny wit must make content with his fortunes fit. He's got to be happy about whatever
rolls
he ends
his
up
way.
With. Yeah. And Lear has enough brain to say, true, boy. Come, bring us to this hovel. And they exit, leaving the fool behind.
So now he is on stage by himself. This is a brave knight to cool a courtesan. I'll speak a prophecy ere I go. When priests are more in word than matter, when brewers mar their malt with water, when nobles are their tailors' tutors, no heretics burned but wenches' suitors.
Okay, so that's part one. That's the world as it is now. So priests
say a lot of stuff that has no weight, that has no, because they don't really believe, or, you know, they're saying what they're meant to, but it's, you know, because I think religion is a cult, but whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then brewers water down their beer.
Yeah.
Everybody's cheating in some way. Nobles teach the tailors what fashion is rather than the other way around, because nobles are fucking, you know, obnoxious, entitled people. And then no heretics burn, but wenches suitors. That's a funny one, because heretics are religious fanatics, religious deniers. Yeah. And there was a lot of that in Queen Elizabeth's time and Queen Mary's time, but they're not doing it in King James's time. But wenches suitors, so lovers are burned by venereal disease. So everybody's getting something. And then part two is the ideal world now. Let's hear about that.
When every case in law is right, no squire in debt, nor no poor knight. When slanders do not live in tongues, nor cut purses come not to throngs. When usurers tell their gold in the field, and bawds and whores do churches build, then shall the realm of Albion come to great confusion. Then comes the time, who lives to see it, that going shall be used with feet. Seat.
Feet. Yeah. And then he has the last little line.
Yes.
So I feel like he pulls himself out of his little parable. This prophecy Merlin shall make, for I live before his time.
Yeah, that's a fascinating moment of the actor, the character, you know, the actor losing the character to come out of the character, out of the play, to tell you a little bit about context. So Merlin, obviously, was the magician in King Arthur's court in Camelot. But Lear's reign, even though it's in this story, it's mostly fictional. There was a King Lear, as we discussed in the first episode, L-I-E-R. But that was before Camelot, long before Camelot. So the fool was like, Merlin's going to tell you more about this when he comes along. Yeah. So when every case in law is right.
Right. So the law is working.
Yeah.
Nobody's in debt. And there's nobody poor.
When slanders, nobody speaks terrible words against each other.
Yeah, no gossips.
No cut purses. Nobody needs to steal. Mm-hmm. Usurers tell their gold, they count their riches in the open because they're not afraid of having to say they have less or more, right? Bawds and whores, pimps and whores build churches.
Mm-hmm.
Great. The realm of Albion is the country of Great Britain. Come to great confusion because they won't know what to do with themselves because everything's so good. What will we all do? We're so used to fighting about things. Yeah. Then comes the time who lives to seat. I love this. What going shall be used with feet? It's like, it's almost like he says, like everything could be so nice and simple if people treated each other well, you know?
Yeah, well, that's eternally true.
Yeah.
That's evergreen. And that's an evergreen tweet right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Aw, so it's like to make the comparison then to Camelot is the, you know, like the ideal. Like everybody wanted Camelot to be real and work, but it didn't. Oh, sad. And you'll see, though, later that Edgar will do the same thing. He's going to come out of his character to comment upon the play, which is such an interesting, you know, tactic.
Mm.
Yeah. All right, so Act 3, Scene 3, last little scene here between Gloucester and Edmund, because Gloucester is very upset, as you saw at the end of the long scene with Regan, about the treatment of the king. And so he's pulled Edmund aside into another room to tell him what he thinks, because he couldn't speak in front of the Duke. Alack, alack, Edmund, I like not this unnatural dealing. When I desired their leave that I might pity him, they took from me the use of mine own house, charged me on pain of perpetual displeasure neither to speak of him, entreat for him, nor any way sustain him.
Yeah, well, unnatural. Ding, 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 ding. Mm-hmm. When I desired their leave, when I asked them that if I could take him in and take care of him, they took over my house. I no longer have control of my house. They took it from me.
And then they said, perpetual displeasure, they would cast him out of their favor.
And they are his...
his liege lords.
Yeah.
That I can't speak about him or think about helping him in any way.
Right. And Edmund, most savage and unnatural.
Yeah. He's just parroting back his words, right?
Yeah. And, you know, unnatural coming from the natural.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love it.
And then Gloucester's like, shh, shh, shh. Go to. Say you nothing.
Ding,
there's
ding, ding,
our
ding,
other
ding.
Theme word, right? Everybody, if anybody says nothing, nothing gets them in trouble. Right? There's a division betwixt the dukes, and a worse matter than that. I have received a letter this night. 'Tis dangerous to be spoken. I have locked the letter in my closet. These injuries the king now bears will be revenged home. There is part of a power already footed. So there's an army on the march.
So there's already a division between Albany and Cornwall. But but even more than that, I got a letter. Oh, shit, I can't talk about it out loud. I locked it up because it's really dangerous
it's
to have
dangerous,
it.
It's dangerous to have. So I locked it in my closet, my personal room, you know, my office kind of a thing. And then he's trying to tell Edmund
and
what
the,
our course is going to be.
On foot.
yeah.
part of a power already footed. That's an army
marching.
They're
actually landed yeah. on English soil, and they're marching this way. So mm-hmm. that's what he just got evidence of in this letter. And then to Edmund, we must incline to the king. So we have to choose to support the king, because that army is obviously in
not,
support of
yeah,
the
right.
king.
Not supporting these two dukes that are
no,
fighting. Right?
No, we're duking it out. I will look for him and privily relieve him. Privily is privately, but it's funny.
Relieve him.
But
and
I'm going to help him pee.
What
no.
we call a privy, a privy. An outhouse
yeah.
is a privy.
Yeah, that's so funny. I'm going to privately help him, quietly. Go you and maintain talk with the Duke, that my charity be not of him perceived. If he ask for me, I'm ill and gone to bed. If I die for it, as no less is threatened me, the king, my old master, must be relieved. There is strange things toward. Edmund, pray you be careful. So if I die, even if I have to.
Die.
Yeah.
So go to them, go talk to Cornwall,
and Regan, and just,
you know, keep them occupied so they don't notice that I'm not here. If they ask for me, I'm sick, and if they figure it out, because they've already told me they'd kill me.
Oh well.
There are strange things toward. What does that mean?
Meaning things coming. You know, strange things coming.
Okay.
Things that we can't guess at.
Okay. Why toward?
Ahead, like.
Okay.
We're going towards them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And Edmund, this courtesy forbid thee, shall the Duke instantly know, and of that letter, too. This seems a fair deserving, and must draw me that which my father loses, no less than all. The younger rises when the old doth fall.
Hmm. And I put this note, I'm getting a hard on just thinking about it.
Rises.
Rises, yeah.
This but courtesy for this courtesy forbids that the thing that you were told not to do, I'm going to tell them that you're doing it.
Immediately.
And I'm going to tell them about the letter.
And he's like, fair deserving, I will deserve a fair reward for this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. This seems a fair deserving and must draw me. All right, I got it. So he's saying, so if I tell Cornwall this, he's going to have to reward me. And if he takes away my father's estate because he's gone against him, he'll give it to me.
Or my father's life.
Yes, but, you know, that Edgar too. Is still alive, too. So.
Well, but he's an outlaw. Mm. So, that which my father loses, no less than all. Everything my father's going to lose on this, he knows that going in. As soon as I tell Cornwall about this letter, my father's a dead man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to do nothing. Someone else is going to kill him. I don't have to have blood on my hands at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's ruthless. Ooh.
All right, and that's it for today.
Yeah, well, that was a lot.
And now my tummy is rumbling.
Oh,
like
rumble
the thunder.
Thy belly full.
Yeah. I'm hungry.
Yes. Cry to it, Nuncle.
Hungry!
Down. Down, wantons. Down.
Down, wantons. All right. So anyway, I'm Erin.
And I'm Diana. And this has been Fuck the Storm.
The Storm! Okay.
Bye.
Ciao. For additional fun shit from Fuck Shakespeare, you can head to our website at fckshakespeare.com.
Or find us on Instagram at fckshakespeare.
If you are enjoying this podcast,
you could support us for as little as 99 cents per month. Just click the support button on the page on Spotify or Anchor.
Tell your friends.